What up? We are back for another episode of the Coco Talk podcast. We are lucky enough to be joined today by Zane and his beautiful partner, Stacey. Welcome, guys.
Hey. Thanks, bro.
I can't believe you said yes, Stacey.
I kind of didn't have a choice in the end. It was like, right, pick a day.
And I think we wanted to get you guys on because we've only ever had like single people and we've heard your story before, Zane, and you have your own podcast and your own platform. Mm. But, you know, behind every man is a beautiful woman who also has a story of her own. And I think that's what's cool is when you get to meet two individuals and then see, bro, because when you come together, it's not like unicorns and rainbows. Like there's some shit that happens. Mm. But then when you understand like the person's story behind it, like there's a bit more understanding, if that makes sense. Yeah. 100%. So
I feel like I'm going to get played out.
Yeah, hard out. And we're going to start with Stacey too. Yeah, if you just wanted to like, yeah, who are you? Where are you from?
This is always the hardest question, like no matter where you are. Right, introduce yourself. It's like, shit. Kia ora, my name's Stacey Tupuni. From Gisborne, grew up in Whangarei. Obviously, that's where I met my partner.
So he's both met in Whangarei?
Yeah. Funny story there, actually. Everything kind of crossed over for years. Like we actually grew up in the same street. His mum played with the same rugby club as my dad. He had a little bit of a crush on me in high school, but the age difference back then just didn't work. Then our mums worked together, and then it wasn't until we were in our early 20s, that we actually...
I've never seen you so scared, Zane.
I was 21.
Yeah, sorry, I was trying to think.
Where are we going with this?
Yeah, so met Zane there, and then we moved to the Gold Coast 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, like what was your, if you're open to it, like what was your experience as a child? What was your life growing up? Because we've heard heaps about Zane's story. No offense,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, that's
you know, so your story's out there. Yeah, but who are you?
Yeah, mine wasn't hard as in the sense of an abusive anything or neglect or anything like that. My parents were young and they had us. When my mum was 25, which made me like 7, 8, they both decided to go off and get educations, which meant that they were never home. So from a very young age, I was basically raising my brothers and my sister. I did a lot of dropping them off at school, picking them up, making sure they got home, did their homework, made sure dinner was sorted, and then my parents would come home. So although it wasn't like a hard neglect unintentionally, my parents were hardly there for us, especially for me and my brother. My sister and my younger brother have a completely different remembrance of our upbringing. So it's
sorry.
I really don't like thinking back on it. Me and my mum have had a huge conversation. So me and my brother had the hidings, the parents never home, the look after yourself, you're all good, you're safe, whatnot. And then my other brother and sister had the rich, we're here, don't see no poverty, don't see no hidings, don't see any of that. So we learned from a very young age to fend for ourselves and basically started supporting ourselves from a very young age. I didn't actually have much of a childhood in the sense of just being a kid because they were so busy and they were both very deep into their sports. When they were home, we were constantly dragged around from rugby club to soccer club to training. We learned to do everything and eat on the go. Although we had a lot of love in one sense, we didn't actually have a lot of connection. And when we became teenagers, I guess that's when I really resented my dad. And my mum, I rebelled big time. I did everything that they didn't want me to do. And at the time, I wasn't aware of it, but I basically became a kid when I should have been a teenager. It took a lot of years, and my grandfather was always there. My grandfather was awesome. He would travel and take me everywhere he went. And I remember always hearing him say to my parents, like, you just need to let your daughter be a kid. Just let her be a kid. Let her be a teenager. And I never understood that until before he passed away and said, when I go, just get out of here, go and live your life and just be you. Find who you are and be you. So, yeah, I was a mum pretty much to my brothers and sisters from a very young age, and I had a lot of responsibility put on me for someone so young that I never got to just be. So, yeah.
And when did your guys' journey start, like the real connection?
I would have been 21. I think I just turned 21. It's a month after my 21st. Yeah.
And I was trying to find my way out of a really abusive, ugly, horrible relationship.
Yeah.
And actually, if it wasn't for me happening to run into you one night, I think potentially I'd still be in that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, so do you mind me speaking into it? All right, cool. Thanks, babe. Shit. Far out.
Deep end it was.
Straight.
Yeah, so I met her. It was funny. I met her at the pub. So I was going for a breakup with my my ex at the time. And I seen Stacey at the pub. And me and Stacey known each other since we were like, I think I was like 9 when I met Stace. So I'd known her growing up, but I'm like a couple of years younger than Stace. So like she's always been the older girl that I was like, I had a crush on, you know, in the club. But it's just unattainable because I was such a little boy.
Yeah.
And yeah, one night we were at the pub and she was came up, talked to me, you know, we're friends, whatnot. I was a grown man by this stage, so I was like, I know who I am, you know? I got this.
My name's Zoom.
Yeah. But she was there with, what was he at the time? What was he your ex?
Or? He was my ex.
Yeah. So he was there and he sort of tried to come up and control her. And I was just like, she was almost going to listen to him. And I was like, oh, fuck, you don't have to listen to this dude. Like, who the fuck is he? He doesn't control you. You know? And that's sort of how it started the conversation. But you ended up going home with him, but you got him to drop you off at your parents' house, which was only like a couple of minutes.
Got him to take me to my grandparents.
Oh, grandparents' house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. And yeah, then me and her just started talking after that. And I don't know, whatever happened for you that night, that was like the last time you seen him. So I don't know, I was glad I was there.
It was kind of like, I was very grateful you were there because there was no sexual anything at that time, but it was the fact that another man, so my ex had actually came out and was like, come on, we're going. And at that time, he still had a huge control over me. And I was like, no, I don't really want to go. I'm actually having fun and I've just seen my friend. But I was never allowed to talk to any other males. And Zane actually stood up for me and I was like, what the hell is this? Like, someone else is standing up for me and he's not saying anything. And I actually said to Zane, please don't. You don't understand what's going to happen when we go home. Just don't worry about it. And Zane was like, no, fuck him. Like, who does he think he is to come out here at the pub around everyone and do what he's doing to you? And I was like, oh, actually, I have to go. And I knew if I didn't go, it potentially was going to get worse. But then the whole drive home, I was thinking, someone actually had my back. I didn't have to have my back. And by then I was completely broken. But someone else has my back and there's no repercussion. There's no, he doesn't want anything from me. And I actually got to my nana's house, got out of the car and I said, I'm sorry, I'm done. This is it. I don't ever want to see you again. He did bombard me with messages and texts and calls for a long time. But that Zane stepping up for me that night was enough to give me enough courage to just shut the door on that and just walk away for good.
Well, I wanted to beat the fuck out of him, man, to be honest. Like, I just wanted to knock the dude out. But I knew, like, couldn't sort of do that.
It's like respect.
Yeah.
It's like my mates here. I'm not exactly gonna.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. It's it almost sounds like the having to be have all that responsibility, it kind of like transfer to your relationship as well. It's like, shit, I'm gonna be responsible for if Zane gets in trouble or something's gonna happen to me after this. I can't. And I guess someone having your back gave you the balls to be like,
yeah.
I think ball. Also knowing like you had, if it wasn't to turn out so well, like you also had to be the person to deal with it as well. You know, and I think that's something that I've never understood. Like, I've never been in a relationship like that where I'm just like, bro, just leave them. Like, what the fuck did you know? Yeah. Just make the decision and you don't realize like the shit that they have to go home to and deal with. And it is like a long process.
It's hard. It really is hard. Like I know me and Zane attempted to do a podcast on it. Got about halfway. I was like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm not healed. This is triggering the shit. Fuck you.
You've got about 10 of those.
But like the hardest part of it is people do say that, like, just leave. Like, why are you staying there? And it gets to a point where I actually lost communication with my family. I didn't go to my brother's 21st when the rest of my family did because of the relationship I was in. But it got to the point where they just gave up of trying to get me to kind of to get out of the relationship. And I got to a point where I got sick of feeling like I was getting beaten from every angle. So while I was with my ex, I'd be beaten. And then I felt like when I'd go and see my family, because they were constantly telling me, just leave, like we'll come pack your shit up. And for me, it wasn't in that mind frame. It's actually not that easy. Mm. So I felt very beaten from every angle that eventually you get to a point it's like, I don't want to talk to no one and I'm just going to deal with this shit. It's hard just to get away from it.
I think a lot of the times, like guys like us, like looking from the outside in, we don't have the perspective of what's going on at home.
Mm.
It's so easy for us to watch these TV shows, see these things on the news and be like, you got to fucking do it. You got to do it. You're not going to get anywhere without it. But you're like, well, we don't understand the hidings. We don't understand the like manipulations at home. Yeah. So it kind of makes sense in a way, like how you can feel attacked and like have no one's got your back when you're in that kind of situation.
And you really do feel like that. Like even the controlling things, like I know I brought a lot of weird shit until the beginning of mine and Zane's relationship.
Oh, yes.
We'll get to that. But I was so used to, like, I couldn't even go to the shop. And if I was 30 seconds late, that was it. Like, where the fuck were you? And that's it. Sometimes it's over and then he'd go sleep with someone and, oh, you know, I did so wrong. I'm so sorry. And then other times he'd just beat me just because I was late. But then it got to a point in mine and Zane's relationship, I'd go to a shop and I'd be like, I'm so sorry, I'm late, babe. Like, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to. I ran into such and such. And he's like, oh, good. Like, don't worry about it. And then I'd flip and be like,
why are you even telling me this?
But then I'd flip at him and be like, why don't you care? You are showing me you don't care right now. So it was very hard to.
Yeah.
That's an interesting dynamic to work through.
And I fully didn't understand it because I'm not a controlling person. Like, fuck, if you want to be a wild animal and be free, like, go. You know? Fly. Yeah. Like, go drink, be wild, you know? Like, do whatever you want to do. So when she's telling me I'm late home from the shop, I'm like, why are you even wasting my time with that? And I know how, like, I sort of understand how it looks like I didn't care. Like, I fully cared, but I'm just like, I'm not going to control you.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's not what it looked like to me.
Yeah.
Caring to me looked like constant control and hands and everything.
How was that for you guys? Like, obviously, you know, you have the first moment and then like you connect and you're like, this is amazing. And then eventually like the shit comes out in some way that you have to work through. Like, what was the not weaving process, but you know, you sharing that and then you're like, fuck, that's a totally different experience.
Yeah. I think in a way, like I just come out of a relationship. I had two kids. I was a little bit lost too. So, I don't know. I didn't feel lost at the time, but I felt okay. You know, I felt like that was like, it was time for me to move on regardless of whether I met Stace or not. But I jumped into the relationship with Stace and I suppose like the honeymoon phase of the relationship was like, and the attraction and the fact that I had a really big crush on her growing up, like my whole life, like that all like, that was like, I just had rose colored glasses on the whole time. And I was like, oh, this fucked up shit's okay.
Deal with this.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, sweet. And I'm a really resilient person. So like I'm like, cool. All right, not sweet. Again, we'll try to work through this. And that's sort of how I've been the whole time. You know, just work through it. And it's been lots of weird shit that's happened. Yeah.
So one thing we are pretty good at is communicating. So although I did these fucked up shit, he knew darn well where they were coming from.
Yeah.
He understood it kind of thing. So it was like pretty hard to hate on something that you like understand where the behavior comes from. You're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Gotta have your back. Can't be a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it was like, yeah, it was just a lot of stuff from your previous relationship that crept into our relationship, eh? And I don't know, it's sort of been a dream. Like, that seems so foreign, like, thinking about it now. Like,
how long have you been together?
10 years next month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool. So we've been together a while, you know, so we've been through a whole lot of shit. But it's like, I don't know. That's so far away. That's so foreign. Like, in our relationship, like, those behavior patterns that Stace had before, like, the insecurities and all of the madness, like, it's not really in our current. It's not really in our current. It's not in our present relationship. So, yeah, I don't know. Reflecting on it now is
such a distant person.
It's weird. Yeah.
It's weird when you stop as a couple and you look back and you're like, fuck, we were talking like that.
Yeah.
We were treating each other like that. Yeah. Like, oh, man. Dangerous, bro. Like, don't do that again. Like,
yeah.
I think that's the biggest part, is the guilt. Especially when there was a period where we were arguing and we were real horrible. And now it's gotten, like, there was so much guilt around that and trying to heal that and having to hold on to that, that now it's like, I'd rather not argue with you. Like, I don't want to go through that again. Like, let's just communicate.
Yeah. And to add to it, sorry, I haven't always been a good communicator. So I was like a mute for a lot of years. Straight, I know this sounds weird.
Resilient, but you mean mute.
But I just didn't say shit, eh? Like, I just bottle it all up.
Yeah, but I can relate to that.
And then I like rage up, you know?
You go out and outlet on someone
else. Outlet on someone else,
do something stupid. And
yeah, that's it.
And then you come home and blame me. Oh, sorry, guys.
Blame you? Or
just go out together?
Okay.
Yeah.
Everything's all right. Keep doing your crazy shit.
You're with it. You're with it.
Yeah, so I didn't really know how to communicate because, like, I suppose, like, the only way I knew how to communicate was just, like, fuck you, fuck off. You know, that's, like, that's all I had. And then I'll just, like, fuck this, I'm out of here. And then I'll walk away, you know, go and take a breather and then come back and then try and sort it out. But, she was just, like, talk. And I'm just, like, oh, I got a headache. You know, like, I'm all good. Like, I didn't even want to fight about this because I'm pretty cruisy. Hey? Yeah. I'm a really cruisy person. Like, I'm like, chill out. But Stace wasn't like that, so needed communication. But I've learned how to communicate very well.
So you learned something.
So my relationship has taught me how to communicate, especially being angry too, like an anger, you know, instead of just like fuck you, all of the abusive shit that I could say, you know. I learned how to take a breath and talk through what's going on, you know.
I find that so hard, I guess, for a male and coming from, like, you know, masculine circles. But the way you deal with shit is like, fuck, what'd you say, cunt?
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
Yeah.
And then you sort it out from there and it's done. But then you get this, like, weird air of superiority because, you know, that guy hiding, I've given that guy hiding. It's very hard to step down and be like, it's all right. Get the fuck out of my face, please.
It is hard, though.
And then finding, like, the healthy outlets for that shit. Yep. For all that built up anger, for all that old shit that they got hanging around in the back there, and like, you know, you got to get rid of it, but then it's like, what's a healthy way to get rid of anger?
Yeah.
And then you just start researching and you find a way, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And there wasn't, like, for me, like, until last year, I didn't really know how to do any of the shit that I know how to do now to deal with my anger or emotions or to regulate emotions, right? So before it was like just training.
Yeah.
It's lots of training. Just kill myself in training. And that's like how I release my anger, you know?
Whether at that one be on stage the you were field. Living at the gym.
Yeah. That was like my only outlet. So that's how I would deal with my problems in my relationship. Come home, it's still the same, but you know, it was just more like the cup's really, really full and I'm really angry. I'll just tip a little bit out.
I can survive.
I can handle a bit more of this. And that's how the cycle sort of happened for a long time, eh?
I found for me when it came to like outlets and stuff, I didn't realize like my shit was affecting other people. I'd be like, I'm not doing the behavior she's doing. I'm not putting my shit on other people. But then like they pick up on, like my kids would pick up on my like sadness and shit. They'll pick up on my like resentment, like the anger coming through. And I had no understanding of this because I'm like, I'm doing everything right. She's the one that's doing this. And I didn't realize until later on down the track, it's like, you're fucked up shit too. Like, a lot of that stuff that you hate about her is the stuff that you see in you. And I was like,
hated about me.
But I found that one of the like best tools like for myself was to realize like why you do this fucked up shit. Like a lot of these behaviors are what you see in yourself.
Mm.
You kind of got to figure that stuff out, or else you're gonna keep on perpetrating that kind of rubbish on your partner. Like, and that's supposed to be the person closest to you. It's supposed to have their back like 1,000,000% more than any of your boys, almost more than your own family and shit. So yeah.
What was it like for you to not then say, hey, like, I'm sorry that I'm late? Like, you know, there's a point where you're calling and saying I'm late, or there's a point where you're having this conversation, and then there's a point where you're late for an hour and then there's no communication. Like, to trust, you know, like to start trusting like this relationship.
I don't even know when it changed. I was like that many years, like 7 of our 10 years together. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like I knew it from the start and then changed my behaviors. It wasn't really until we dived into growth that I let a lot of it go. I remember sitting at work actually when we first moved here, and I was staring out one of the buildings down in Southport when I worked down there. I remember just sitting there thinking, this isn't just some guy. Like, you really need to get rid of your fucking insecurities. This is the man that you've crossed an ocean with and built a whole new life with. Like, just stop with your bullshit. And then I guess that's where it slowly kind of crept off. But every now and then, like, little things would pop in. I'll be like, right, who's on your phone? Like, you're on it a lot. Can I have a look? He'd be like, are you fucking serious? And then it wasn't really until I did my growth and I actually did a big, huge workshop and I forgave my ex. It wasn't until I forgave him that everything to do with all that ugly behavior really left, eh?
I think it sort of slowly left over the years. Like, you sort of were chipping away at it slowly. A little bit, yeah. Dabbing your feet in, tipping your toes in, you know. But yeah, like, I think really just fully diving into workshops. I think probably the most transformational moment for us was when Andy held that space before our couples workshop. So he held, me and Andy, we built a couples workshop.
For you two.
For us. Yeah. Literally. Yeah. Well, it was like, we weren't seeing this anywhere, right? And fuck, we wanted this in our relationship. We wanted to create a space like, yeah, cool. It's like, yeah, it's okay. I'm gazing with a fucking man, but I want to look at my partner's eyes. You know, I want to connect with my partner. And so it's like, you know, how do we create a space that connects, you know, that we can connect and really create a space where you can take ownership for all of the shit that you bring to the relationship and really dive into it, like deep dive into it, forgive, you know, and connect. Relationship. So we were the test run for it. And yeah, it worked. It worked.
Cause, well, we were done, really.
Yeah, we were done. Yeah.
Like, that was it. Make or break. If it didn't work, then we're going separate ways. Love. We knew we loved each other, but we just couldn't anymore.
Yeah.
Everything was so hard. We both weren't dealing with a lot. And there was a lot of unsaid things. Like, there was a lot of things we hadn't said out loud to forgive each other for. And there was also a lot of things that we hadn't acknowledged in our relationship that we'd done ourselves. So there was a lot of unsaid things, and that allowed us to really have the space to kind of just put it all out on the table. Like, here I am. Here's my soul. I'm bearing all.
Mm.
I'm sorry and I love you.
Yeah.
And that vulnerability, bro, makes you want to shit your pants.
Yeah.
Like, it's scary.
Everything. Because it's like, I'm giving you everything. Please don't shit on me. Please don't hurt me. Please don't.
Yeah. That's it, eh? Like, my body was like trembling in that workshop, eh? Like, I've done some trauma releases after that but that was intense for me, eh? Because I'd been holding on to all of that shit for ages, for like years. So like, I laid it all on the fucking table, you know, all of the shit that I never said. Sort of just said it all. And but it freed, like, I felt like I was free from it once it was spoken, you know? And it was, the space was held in such a way for us that we could safely say those things without, like, triggering an argument, you know? Like, whereas if I'd have said that and like, a, hey, babe, can I sit down and talk to you? We would have got into a fight 100%.
Oh, definitely.
But how the bro, like. Yeah. But how the bro, like, held that space for us and got us to that place of, like, we're not actually going to have a conversation around anger. we're going to have a conversation around like what's hurt, how we're hurting, you know, and be in that space of vulnerability, like you said. So, yeah, that was like real freeing for us, eh?
Yeah.
Real freeing for us. And then like, yeah, everything else has sort of been a lot easier to deal with because we sort of dealt with the dark shit and that, you know.
That was like the hardest moment for us. So everything yeah. since is like, ah.
Mm. Yeah, it's sort of like, oh yeah, look, we need to go yeah. there. Like, I'm like, babe, fuck, I need to have a conversation with you because this shit's fucking me off, you know. And it's I like, can say that shit.
Sit down, let's yeah. go.
And she'll hold that space for me now because it's not like this built up like resentment like that's so deeply.
You need a win.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
me versus you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. He's holding something back. I got your ass
yeah.
on
yeah.
this one.
Yeah, yeah.
And exactly. that's kind of how it was before. Like, okay, I've got this in my bag. Oh, sweet. Now I've got this. Oh, you've just done this.
Yeah.
So by the time something would arise, we weren't actually dealing with the issue itself, but a million other things. Whereas now it's like, okay, you want to talk? Right. Shit, what did I do today? And you literally only have to think about like, the moment you're in almost.
Yeah.
Right. That shit's so common in relationships because I remember like going through, if the boys were wanting to drink or something, or if we were going out for a night, leading up to that night, you're saving things up, you're cleaning oh, yeah. this, you're doing that, you know. It's like, why the fuck are you doing this when you should be on the same page? It's like you guys are equals, you know. Mm. You should be able to support your friend when they want to go out and party with their mates. But then, like I found back then, it was a very like, this is my shit, that's yours. I've caught like maybe 5 of your bad things. If you fuck with me, I'm going to unleash them on you.
Yeah.
Oh, I unleashed. That was the devil.
But yeah, it's so common. Like I can harder relate to that. Just the whole like keeping tallies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it's not your friend anymore. It's just like fucking workmate.
Yeah.
You know, the shift mate that, you know, hey, what's up? Why'd you do this?
Yeah. And it's real weird, because like I don't it's yuck to even think like I could hold that much resentment in my body, you know, against someone I love. Mm. And then yeah. But it truly showed me that, like, if there's anything that's true, like, you can work through pretty much anything if you're both willing to go there. You know, if both parties are really willing to go there and, like, close that healing loop and, for fully forgive, you know? Because most of the time we get, like, we get angry and we get sad. Then we're, like, sort of forgive them, but nah, fuck that motherfucker, you know? Yeah. And that's what happens. Then it's back to angry, back to sad. Like, it's, like, this loop. Looping shit that happens, right? And it happens with everything, not just in a relationship, with anything. And yeah, so but once I felt that freeing feeling of forgiveness in anything, I've always just like, okay, cool, how do I get this out of my body? It's like it feels yuck holding this.
That workshop basically gave us a clean slate.
Yeah, dude.
Like it was like, right, we're going into this, we're doing this 100%. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But whatever we bring up, it needs to be gone. Like we need to forgive each other and let go of it. We can't keep this fighting and hanging over our heads. So that gave us a huge clean slate. Still a few things that pop up every now and then, but
as they do. Yeah.
But
yeah.
We can now talk about it. It's like, oh shit, the minute I get triggered, no, I've already forgiven you. I've actually got to let that go. No.
That's one thing I thought was I had to forgive the other person, you know, whether it's like sexual abuse or whatever it may be. It's like, okay, I forgive them. And then I was like, oh fuck, I need to forgive myself for the fucking shit I did.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's when like, I think, sorry, same thing last year. We didn't come head to head, but there was a moment of, I really don't think this is working. Like, you know, when you start to look at them through a very different lens, even though it's the same person, their just face looks a bit different, or it's like, fuck, I don't recognize you anymore. Yeah. And I didn't recognize myself as well. And then that's when I was like, oh shit, I've never really understood like the space that he's held for me for so many years. And just how this cunt, not falling apart, bro, but falling apart, you know? Because it's hard. Like one person shouldn't have to hold one person and all their stuff all the time. Because I'm a pretty private person, even though I'm mouthy bitch everywhere else. But not many people like really know me. That it's hard to forgive yourself. Was that like a journey for you to?
That was the hardest part, the guilt I had from my actions on others. And like I've spoken into it a few times, but that through everything else was the hardest bit to forgive me. Like I'd still wake up and Zane would be like, it's okay, babe. And I'm like, no, but you don't understand. Like I can't believe I did that to you. I can't believe I made you feel that way. I can't believe that I did this to the kids. I can't believe I wasn't present with anyone. I can't believe I was even hurting my own friends. And so that was the hardest part of my journey, really, eh? It was the guilt. Oh.
Shame.
Fuck, a shame. Like, that's, oh, that's the ugliest feeling ever. Like, that in growth and healing is the hardest bit to overcome.
Yeah.
All the guilt and the shame that you carry. Fuck.
Yeah. Oh, can I ask you guys a question?
I'm a mess because of you. Yeah, ask away.
Like, you know, because like all of us are sort of on our own growth journey. We all go at our own pace, right? Like, I know with us, our challenges is like when one person has an awakening, it's like that readjustment, right? I know. How do you guys sort of deal with that in your relationship? Because, like, you know, I'll go and do ayahuasca and come back and I'm like, you know,
literally out on the lawn. Yeah. With your undies on.
with all of these new realizations, you know, and
feathers in your hair.
Yeah. I can feel the collective consciousness.
But true though, like laughing, but true.
But you know, I know it's an adjustment for her, you know, every time I go, because I do a lot of work, man, you know. I don't post everything I do, but I do a lot of shit, you know.
It was hard, eh? Because Ness like went to like quite a few different workshops to try and like sort of shit out.
I think I started in yoga and I think that's where it kind of.
And I think for me, I was like, oh, because I didn't understand it. Like growing up, I didn't understand depression and stuff. So when Ness came to me and said, like, I think I've got postnatal depression. I've dealt with depression throughout my life because of the shit that I've gone through. I was just like, yeah, go for a run. eat healthy, talk about it. And she was just like, this guy doesn't get me at all. And then eventually down the track, she was like, all right, I'm going to go start doing yoga. I'm going to counseling. And I saw it as like an amazing thing because I didn't understand it. But then the part where I'm dropping the ball was like, I wasn't there for her to like share that kind of shit with me. Mm-hmm. We weren't at the same wavelength for me to understand it.
Just a different understanding
of something. Because I didn't understand the upbringing. You know, whenever I interacted with her, I just thought love is love. A father's a father. A mother's a mother. Everything's all good. You know, someone's going to come and save you. But like that's an assumption. Like she didn't grow up anything like how I grew up. And so the more I understood that, that's when I was like, all right, cool. I understand what these workshops are for, but I need to get involved in them. Not get involved in actual workshops, but get involved with her. Like what's on your mind? What's going on? And then eventually got to a point where the workshops were like over the top. Bro. It was like a fucking workshop every weekend. And I was like, gee.
What? Your tits are out.
I think I'm gonna change some nappies, bro.
Oh shit, the truth.
But that's what it turned into. I eventually got to that point where like everything was a workshop. I'm finding this. And for me, like you see this person growing, and then I'm like, oh, it's your ego. It's your ego going, this woman's like, she's gonna leave you. Like she's going on to this like completely different plane of existence. And then I think that's where I needed to check myself. And I was just like, bro, you need to fucking relax. You didn't grow up like you. Didn't have the opportunities. Didn't have the support that you had. There's a reason why she's going out and seeking this stuff from these workshops. So that's when we started talking about it. That's when we started talking about the workshops. And that's when we started integrating what she learned in the workshops into our own family. I think one of the things that saved us with the workshops and stuff was her was culture. Like she went back to like her roots and stuff. You know, started singing the songs that she sung when she was a kid. And I could relate to that because everything for us is culture. Like it trumps whatever. Like we go to school and stuff, but when you go to school, your parents are like, hey, make sure you don't do this. Make sure you don't do that. Don't do this or you're going to get a hiding, you know? So like we always live different to like the kids that were at school, but you could always relate to other brown faces that you saw there. So like I understood it. Once you started drawing back to culture, I was like, yo, fucking no. Like I understand it now. You know, we can work through this together. So I think from my experience, like integrating those workshops and those like growth experiences, that's like how I felt from my side. It's very easy to get lost in the ego, like, fuck, this bitch is just getting all the attention. Oh, you just want attention, all this kind of stuff. Very easy for especially someone like me to start getting jealous of that. But like I had to check myself and just be like, bro, what the fuck are you doing? You know, this person didn't have the same upbringing as you. They don't have the same tools as you. Maybe the same tools, your tools don't work. For them. So
I think from my side, like I came across yoga because I was had postnatal depression, went to a counseling session. She's like, let's do this thing called meditation. And I was like, okay. And it was the first time I'd actually felt peace, you know, where I didn't like, I was like, oh, I can feel something. Like, this feels really weird. It's like, fuck, this shit's mean. And then, so that's when I found yoga. And then you draw away from your culture in some way. You know, I wasn't living in New Zealand. I needed some sort of connection. So I was like, fuck, yoga it is. And the community and the people there, bro, it's but different, you know? I won't say labels, but it's different. They're fucking out the gate now. But different community, different language, different way of expressing. And then I loved it. And then when I tried to take it home, there was the language was different, you know? Because we're like two kids from South Auckland. And he's like, bro, what the fuck are you talking about that for? You know, it's not that you would say that, but I couldn't. I was like, I'm not being heard. I'm not being seen because I'm trying to change and you can't see me. But I think the part where I'd learned, like you have these awakenings, whether it's plant medicine, whether it's a yoga class, whether it's a breath workshop, there was no integration. So I was coming to him like, but I've changed. And he's like, but you had a workshop for 4 hours. You came to like realizations, but you haven't changed the way you're like talking to me. You're still talking to me like you know better in some way. And so I had to step off my pedestal. I was like, yeah, cool. You've learned some shit. But you're still talking to your partner the same way that you have been like. And I think that was the realization for me. I think last year we did like a journey together, like a medicine journey together, where I was like, fuck, I've actually left my friend behind this whole time, you know. And why was I seeking so far ahead and wanting more to understand with myself when I could just sit with my best friend and have a conversation? And like maybe that's where my shit will be learnt or integrated, like. Yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, it does. 100% it does, yeah. Because I think with the work, and I feel like there's some confusion around it, it's like everybody's going to do these workshops, which are amazing. Like, they're great. You have these awakenings, you have these realizations, but the real work is actually in your home. The real work is in integrating and, like, fuck, you can go be as woo-woo as you fucking want on a workshop and be like, oh, love and light. And then come home and be like, it's like the you know, come home and just be like playing out the same behaviors. Right. And it's so easy to do that. And I realized that, like, yeah, part of the integration, part of the work for me was like, how do I bring my family into this and bring my family up where Stacey doesn't have to go and do the work? You know, I can teach the lessons by leading by example. And that was something like, I suppose I only really started to learn at the end of last year. You know,
it's like when you're sharing that part of yourself, like you go away.
Yeah.
You go on this like little hikoi and you're like, yeah, I'm going to go home. I'm going to be the man.
Yeah.
Fucking not the man.
Yeah.
But you have to practice these things and shutting your mouth and just letting the person like feel the change and like witness the change rather than saying, I have changed. I am doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I need to do, and you need to do this. And you need to do that. I hated that. Yeah, I know. I actually was. But I didn't know. I didn't have the awareness around it. I just knew how great it felt for me. I didn't realize that everybody's journey is like their own journey. And that's not me to say, like, you need to go and do this workshop or
this is the way.
Like, you need to find the way, you know.
Like, you used to come home after a workshop, get real angry at me because I didn't know what he had just learned.
Yeah.
And then he has this thing when he learns something, he dives head deep into it.
Yeah.
And so he'll disappear for days in information and I'm expected to know everything he's learning.
Mm.
But I learn very differently. And so we realized he'd go further in his growth and then I'd get to a point. And then as long as we were constantly moving though, we knew we were growing together in some form. But it got to a point where it was like, hold up, you're holding a workshop, then you've just come home and spoken to me like this? Is this what you're teaching everyone? Because fuck you. And like, we really had to check each other, eh? Like, there was a lot of times it was like, is this how you talk to your mate? Because why are you doing this? This is your ego, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say it really nice with love, but your ego is playing out right now, and I don't like it, and I know you don't.
Ego is a motherfucker.
Fuck, ego.
Yeah, so because you need it, like, you just get run all over out there in society, but you need it to a point, and then you got to choose who and when you like share it with, and whether or not it's like healthy or not, or
whether it's worth it.
Yeah, I find. For me, like growing up and stuff, ego always, because of the sport I was doing, but I was just constantly getting smashed. So it's very, very hard to like maintain this ego of like, I'm going to fuck everyone up. I'm the man, all of this kind of stuff. So it was quite a good practice to get your ass kicked every like second day or something. But I could like see in other men, guys that weren't really interacting in those kind of circles or really training or having any kind of like an outlet or a challenge, you could see how the fucking blows up. You know, you hear these kinds of talking about like professional sports people playing rugby going, I would have scored that try. Like the keyboard warriors, you know?
Yeah.
You know, those couch coaches. I think, I find like the ego is something that you got to, I guess, protect in a way. Mm-hmm. And you got to be super aware, like whether it's like a positive thing or a negative thing in your life, in your family, or even out there. Because like it comes to a point sometimes out there where you got to be like, nah, fuck this love and life. Someone's going to get a hiding if you could, you know, someone's in danger or like somebody's scared, you know?
Guys, there's a lot of nodding. A lot of nodding happening.
Yeah. And I think like what Stace was saying, like, because I didn't have the awareness to know that, like, I'm just like, this is good. This is how simple my brain was. Like, this is good. And like, I'm real aggressive with change. So I'm like, this is good. Why the fuck can't you see it? You know, because I didn't know that what I was fucking dishing up to the table was super fucking confronting. Why can't we all just go and fucking release trauma? You know, like with no understanding. Because like I'm ready. I'm ready. Everybody's ready. Like, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm ready. Everybody's fucking ready. You know, like I don't understand because I'm just like, sweet. For me, there's never really been like any hesitation around like diving in to my shit, you know? I think because like all the shit that I went through growing up and stuff, like I'm ready for this shit, you know? I feel like I'm built for this shit. And but it's not true for everyone, you know? And that was like, I had to come to that understanding and was like, you can't just come home and expect everybody to just fall in line with what you want, you know? And I suppose like, yeah, what Stace was saying is just like, that was how it was. It was like, I'm like, we need to do this, 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 this. And she's like, hold the fuck up. Like 3 hours ago, you were a different human being. You know what I mean?
It got to a point where he would go to a workshop and I'm like, fuck, please tell me you were going to come back and love me. Like, please tell me we're going to be good because fuck knows what happens in your head.
Yeah. This shit is so relatable.
He's like, fuck, she's going away again. What is she going to come back with?
What's my wife going to come back home? Right.
Yeah.
Shit, is the darkness just too much this time?
But nobody tells you that's part of the integration with your family, right?
Your real life, the people.
Yeah, your real life. Like you just had these massive shifts, right? And it's like, how the fuck do you implement that into your home?
And most of the time when you come back to your family, they're like, what is wrong with this? Exactly. Like, what's changed? Something wrong. Don't worry, it's going to change again next week.
Yeah.
Because like we're so used to things changing constantly. Like we grow up with like, you go to the church, you're a Christian. You're a Christian for the rest of your life. That's what defines you. You get a job, you keep that job for the rest of your life. That's what defines you. And then you got some cunt that goes to a workshop for 3 hours and it's a completely different person. And you're like, what the fuck is this shifty cane?
Yeah, it's almost like a mistrust in that, you know? Yeah. Even when I came back where I was like, all these things. And he's like, I don't know, like suspicious, you know? Which for fucking good reason. Like you should be suspicious because I didn't integrate half the shit. Like I was a blow ass, you know? Because it gave me that like little moment of satisfaction where I was like, I think I know who I am. I've got my shit together. Like I'm going to go home and we're going to be this and our family's going to be so much better and not realizing it's going to take maybe 6 months to 6 years to integrate one lesson.
Mm.
You know, like it's a long haul, but it doesn't have to be a drag.
Yeah, exactly.
But
it's
a long haul.
Yeah. And I've definitely shifted now when I come home from ceremonies. Yeah. Because like my only intention when I come is just love my family.
Mm.
That's it. It's that simple for me.
Well, I think you've gone so far into the darkness within inside of you
that
really when you go to these workshops now, you're just filling up with love.
Yeah, 100%. I don't bring that and put that on the table. Like I'll have a conversation with Stace. I'll be like, oh, babe, we need to set some boundaries around this. And, you know, like those are healthy communication boundaries. But it's like, I'm not out here like, you need to go do this, you need to go do that anymore.
At the beginning, though, it was like, right, you need to do this workshop, you need to do this, you need to read this, and you need to listen to this podcast. It's like, the fuck I need to do that for?
Is it because you wanted to be understood? That if
100%. Yeah, I felt like if there's anybody I want to understand me, it's her.
And you felt alone for
a long time.
For a long time.
It's like I'm a fucking weird cunt. I'm a different dude, man.
Yeah, like, when you realize you're not like into the same things your peers are into, you're like, I'm not gonna tell them about that. That's for me, all right.
Yeah, that's it. So even on my social media, like, I don't tell people half the shit I fucking get up to, you know?
What you put up is really like
surface level.
5% shit. Maybe?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't think anyone ever puts
100%. Nah, yeah, that's right. That's 100%. Like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
What's been your like go-to healing modalities or shit that's helped you?
Meditation.
Yeah, cool.
Meditation. Breath work, not so much. But my breath work experiences are a little bit different. And I tend to travel. Really, really travel. The biggest breath work that I ever got something from was from our couples workshop. And I grieved my grandfather after 5 years. I finally got the chance to actually grieve. But it was also very scary because that was something that was my ego. That was my protection. That was my everything was holding on to that. And then after that, I couldn't really get what I used to get from breath work out of it. Like I love a little... you know, start your day off, that sort of breath work. But holotrophic.
Like the full journey.
Yeah. That just that's doesn't, hardcore shit. That's hard. But it just stopped doing things for me. For me, just meditation works so well. Cool. But also little things like just literally going back to simple things, reading, saying my prayers at night.
Mm.
Really just the little things that I would do as a kid that I really took for granted. You know, those all worked.
Even talking, you know, seeing how you had to grow up so early, you literally became a mother almost overnight, you know. Have you been able to find your, like, childlike self in your older years? Is it something you're still, like, trying to hang out with or get to know?
Kind of. When it does come through, I'm like, babe, I can feel the place full side of me. Can you please do dinner? I'm like, I'm just playing with Bailey over here. Do you think that you could take over, like, just be the parent for a little bit? For we realized that I didn't have a playful side. When the kids wanted to play, I'd be like, oh, why? I don't have an imagination. I'm not creative. No, I don't really want to draw with you. Whereas after all that happened, it was like every time I'd catch it, I'd really run with it. Like, right, I'm just going to go sit and play Lego with Bailey. So you're good. But that really took a while to understand and to actually allow myself to do. Like it felt very foreign at first. I was like, hey, Zane, I need to talk to you because I feel this way and I feel like I want to jump around and I don't know what this emotion is. And then he'd be like, where's it coming from? I have no idea. I was just playing with Bailey. And he's like, that's your inner child coming out. Like, my what? It was just something I never really had or understood.
It's cool how you said that, like, such a simple thing, like, I want to jump around and I don't know what it is. Like, so many people sit with it. You have to take on so much responsibility and you're like, how the fuck do I play?
Yeah.
How do I hang out? How do I laugh? How do I not even hang out and laugh, but more so like the playful side of things, climbing trees and shit. I don't know.
Mind you, like the tools that we've been given, or at least like going to school and like what people generally do, like the outlets, the pub, you know, if you want to go and get some time off, go have a ciggy outside. That's your quiet time to yourself. Yeah. No kid's going to come and annoy you and stuff. Like all these tools we got, we don't realize they're having such a negative effect. Like, not only on our physical health, but like spiritually and stuff. So I think it's awesome that people get a chance to try all this shit out. Because, bro, for our workshop, the only workshop I ever went to with her was the O2 Awakening. It was a breath one.
I was shocked he even said yes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I fucking invite this cunt to everything, you know? And I was like, you maybe had the page ready. Are you interested in this one? Do you want to read more information? And then when you said yes, like for me, I was like, I had no expectation. You know, it was the first time where I like sort of let it go. I was like, well, fuck, you said yes, like whatever. You know,
it was I think when she brought it up, I'd never heard of any like breathing techniques, holotropic breathing, nothing at all. But when she brought it up, I was like, oh, you're inviting me to one of your workshops? Oh, shut. You know, we were new to like Brisbane and everything, was on the Gold Coast. And I was like, all right, we'll give it a go. So we pull up there, bro. I see the crowd and it looks almost resembles her yoga crew. Exactly.
No labels.
I'm like, I'm looking at them going, it's all right. But I was, but I need to do a shit before we got there. And I was just like, I can't do a shit in the yoga studio where they're doing the whole place up. I was like, Ness, you go inside, find us a spot. I'm going to go drive around, look for a toilet. Drove around, walked in by myself, one of the last people there. Everyone was already set up and stuff. And I was like, You know, you see all these people stretching and they tell you to like introduce yourself to your neighbor and shit. I introduced myself to my neighbor and he's like, how's it going, bro? Straight away, the bro came out. I was like, oh, yeah, all good. And he's talking about like his ventures. He's going to start like a walking group for people to go out into like nature and shit and learn about themselves. And he was like, what about you? And I was like, oh, bro, I just moved up here. I'm trying to get a job in residential care. He's like, oh, okay. But we get into the breathing and this guy was going off next to me. But for some reason, like with the breathing and stuff, usually I'd make fun of him. Like, this fucking attention seeking dickhead. But usually that would be the, you know, what I would say. But man, I was too deep into my journey to even, I was just like, you go, brother, I can't help you. I can't help you. Yeah, it's super interesting. And I think that's what opened my eyes up to like putting yourself first, self-care kind of stuff. Whereas like my original thought on self-care was going away, get my own time to myself, go hang out with the boys, go have a drink, you know? So I think those workshops are really important. Because like for a lot of people, especially people like me, they don't get a perspective into like what they're doing over there. Yeah.
And I think we were next to each other in the workshop, like he was ahead of me or something. So it was cool for me not to get caught up in his releasing because I was like, fuck, I feel at home here. So bro, I was going hard out of there. Fuck yeah, I pay for this shit. You can hold me, guns. But it wasn't until we went to the beach after and had 10 cigarettes after our awakening workshop. To debrief and share the experience, that's where I was like, oh shit, like fuck, what did you see, what did you feel? And not saying like I understand you, but it was just nice to hear him express himself like that. And I was like, fuck, maybe this is a new start for us, maybe we can start communicating another way, not in a way that I think is the right way, just a fucking different language than how we've been speaking. And I think from there that's been a awaken. I don't like awaken. Just brought us closer, like closer to the truth, like the hard truth, the uncomfortable, the discomfort, where it's not like molded so that it's like received nicely. Yeah. We're just like, fuck it, here it is, you know.
Well, I almost passed out. I had to go to the toilet in the middle of it to do a pee. And here I am thinking, I'm like, ah, man, I used to fight in my undies in front of people for a living, but fuck, I can go to the toilet if I want to. But I got up and I almost stacked it onto the girl that was next to me. My legs were like shaky as I was like, how the fuck am I going to get to the toilet? Luckily, one of the people looking after the thing came over and like helped me up and helped me to the toilet. But I was just like,
were you buzzing out on the toilet?
No, I was standing up. I was trying not to fall over, man. But it's like something that you wouldn't expect in that kind of space. You're like, holy shit, I am really going to a different place. I tried to explain it to my dad was just like, go to church.
You need Jesus.
You know what's funny? I didn't hear. I heard about breathwork through you guys.
The
podcast. Through. I was like, what the fuck is breathwork? If it wasn't for you saying like, I think you said something in the podcast that resonated for me in breathwork when I was doing breathwork. So when I went on men's medicine, that was the first time I experienced breathwork. But you said something about I get how to do this. It's like a workout. Just got to work hard. Right, with the breathing, and then as you work hard, and you go to that place, right? So I remember like breathing down at the bottom of the mountain and like hearing you like remembering what you said. Mm. It's like, oh, I just got to work hard. Yeah, sweet. Because I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm just like, you know, like, well, what is the fucking point in this shit? You know, like that's really where I was at the time. No, nothing spiritual or anything. And yeah, so it's real cool to hear. Like, I forgot that I first ever heard of breathwork from you guys on your podcast because it was around the same time as you fellas came on Raw Talk.
Our first podcast too, was the O2 Awakening podcast. That's buzzy. I think it reminded me of like, you know, like times that I've done acid, like that experience. Mm. It had the same thing and I was like, fuck, this shit's free. Like, cool, I don't have to, like, buy it, first of all. I don't have to worry about, like, anything. But it's something I'm completely in control of that I have access to. Like, nothing wrong with, like, medicine or anything like that, but it's a tool that's available to you. But then also you don't have to do it as well. Mm. You know, like, just whatever the fuck works for you.
Yeah.
Yo, this was fucking deep. Here I was thinking someone's going to mock each other.
But I sort of feel like Stacey started that off with her story.
Yeah.
Nice. Good.
Once the story hit us, I was like, oh, shit, that's us.
This is where we're going today.
Yeah.
But it's cool when you get to hear like couples not speak about their shit. Obviously, we don't know your whole story, but like a small glimpse into it, and then speaking about like communication and forgiveness and like the simple things you spoke about, like hit me with like, oh, like why doesn't he care for, you know, like fuck, I won't be home till midnight. It's kind of, you know, like, bro, you're all good, like you're sweet as, but not something that I'd ever think I'd someone has to deal with, like on the daily. And just to bring light to that, like I know there's going to be women in their cars or wherever they are just going, fuck, yeah, that's like a real thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate you. Appreciate you both.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks. It's always weird ending podcasts.
Yeah, you know, anyone want to say anything, Jake?
Yeah, is there anything you want to share? What's something, anything you want to share?
After this podcast, we're breaking up. Nah.
I've got the papers.
Would you run couples workshops?
Nah, not together. No, oh, I don't not know. Together. Not together. Nah.
I don't think it's a space I really want to step in to with him.
I think we'll just be too busy. Like, she'll be like,
hey, hey. Come across the room.
What are you fucking doing?
Take that.
What am I doing wrong?
Like, we have... Like, I've supported him in the supporting role.
Yeah.
Not facilitated together, but he's facilitated and I've supported him. And we'll be doing the same vice versa next month.
Yes, yes.
But never actually both facilitating the same workshop. Nah, we can't. Like, we have to be damn sure I'm the boss and you have to listen, okay?
At least you know what works.
Fine roles, yeah, 100%. You know? I just try and help out where I can. I don't want to venture too far into your stuff and vice versa. Yeah.
That's hard. Works for us. That's weird. Like when you're on your own journey, I'm on my own journey. And then when you're trying to merge it together, there's still a different connection to people. Like my connection to women is like pretty fucking strong.
Yeah.
Yours is very different to men. I think you can like speak to anyone, but, and then when you try and mold them together and you're like, but my way works. This is how we open it, but this is the good idea. And you're like, oh, fuck up. You don't even, we haven't even tried the workshop and you think you're king shit.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for
having us
on. Hopefully someone gets value out of what's spoken here.